2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6. It says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is indeed by the putting on of my hands. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that, I'm taking it again. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is indeed by the putting on of my hands. So without any doubt, I believe strongly that as workers in the vineyard of God, each and every one of us, we have a gift that has been bestowed upon us. Some of us, we are blessed to have multiple gifts. Some one, some we are attaining a greater height of, you know, amassing more, just based on how God sees that we are making the most of that which he has committed into our hands as of now. Now, when I was told to speak on this topic, what came to my mind is, I've heard the word talent being used, and I've read the word gifts being used. And I said, what exactly is the difference? And from my little research, what I came up with is that talent is more of like, it's natural. Anybody could have a talent, and it could be used for different purposes. While gift has more of spiritual backing, and that's why you will not find us most times saying in the house of God that, oh, it's okay to say she's talented, but if you want to come from the spiritual perspective, we say she's gifted. And even the Bible, when it's making reference to gifts, it talks about spiritual gifts. So we might think that talents and gifts can be used interchangeably, but when we are coming from the spiritual aspect of it, from the godly aspect of it, it's quite different, because talent is more natural, but gifts is more supernatural. And it's very peculiar to the people of God, people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I want us to go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. I'm going to read through. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Next, please. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, I'll stop here for now. We all have gifts, as I have mentioned earlier on. And what the scripture is telling us is that we have different gifts. We do not have the same office. Sometimes we might find ourselves in the same department or the same ministry. It's fine. But it's what the scripture is telling us is that we are all members of a body. There is a body, and then there are parts to the body. And one thing we need to understand as we carry this gift about is that we have a purpose for being in that body. There is a purpose for the eyes. There is a purpose for the ears. And I keep saying it when I have the opportunity to do so, to say that if we understand the importance of what we do to the entire body, then we will take whatever has been committed into our hands very seriously. If I know, for instance, that whatever I carry signifies the eyes of the body, and I know that without me, the body cannot see if I'm malfunctioning, and then I will take more seriously that which God has committed into my hands. If I know for a fact that I represent the leg of that body, then I will take seriously what God has committed into my hands, because I know if I don't get there, they cannot move. So that is how we need to see this gift that God has put into our hands. It is not for self-edification, but for the glory of God, and it is for the betterment of the body of Christ. So the earlier we start seeing it from that angle, it would help us to stay revived. May God help us in Jesus' name. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 5, Brother Femi. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ. Yes, we are many. Sometimes you have a church that is so filled with many people, but we are still one body of Christ. And that's one thing we always need to put at the center of our hearts. Because when we remember that we are one body of Christ, we would not be distracted, and we will keep giving our best. He says, and everyone members one of another, meaning that I can do nothing with my gift. I cannot be functioning effectively with my gift without you adding to it. We need to see ourselves as an integral part of one another. Verse 6. Having then gift differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. Then 8, the last verse. or he that exalted, or on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. When I was reading this particular verse, what came to my mind was that, you know, sometimes we think, oh, the gifts, the major gifts are those that are in the singing ministry, those that can preach, you know, those that can do, you know, very key things that are very visible in the house of God. But what this really shows to me is that he said, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, meaning that being able to show mercy can even be a gift on its own. And then he brought me back to some churches. You know, prior to now, I would think that, oh, that there are different churches that when you are going in, you have welcomers. To me, initially, prior to reading this scripture, this verse, I just thought it was something that, you know, maybe the pastor just came up with that, oh, let's try and add some glamour to our church. Let us have some welcomers that will just keep clapping and smiling when people are coming in. But this verse gave me a reorientation that there is no little gift. You could even be gifted with the gift of smiling. That when somebody comes to church with a very heavy heart and he sees your smile, and then that is it. And the person is looking forward to seeing you. You might not know what you're doing to that person, but it's a gift of just easing people of their worry, of just helping people that come to church, even maybe the sermon did not minister to them, but because of that smile that you keep sharing to them, and it just makes them go back, you know, light-hearted. So, you know, I got a better understanding of what the welcomers do when they just stand there and start clapping and just smile. And before you even get to the church, your heart is already connected to the spirit of the church. So what I'm trying to say from this is that no matter what we do, no matter where, no, that little gift, don't consider it little, because it contributes ultimately to the body of Christ. May God help us in Jesus' name. You know, the dictionary meaning of gift says that it is a thing that is given willingly to someone without payment. Given willingly to someone without payment. And, you know, this just takes us to the next point that I want to try to make. But before I say that, which is, we are going to be talking about why has God endowed us with this gift, I want to say something that the Bible clearly tells us that spiritual gifts are for a specific reason. It's very linked to the next thing I'm going to talk about. They are for a specific reason, and I think I've touched on it. They are for the common good, for the glory of God, and, you know, for the betterment of the body of Christ. Because of our time, let's just go straight to why has God endowed us with this gift. I want us to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. So he says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to read from my version. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of grace in its various form. The key word here from my version is serve. The gift that we have been given is to serve. It is to honor God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Because if we understand the why, then it will help us use what we have better. But if we do not understand the why, we can misuse or mismanage what has been committed into our hands. And that is why it is key for us to remind ourselves of the why. Even prior to now, we already knew about it. But the essence of the retreat is to revive us, is to recharge us and remind us of certain things that form the basis of what we carry. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 11, please. 11 and then 12. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Simple. The purpose of our gift, the reason God has bestowed that upon us, is for the edifying of the body of Christ, to glorify God. That is the number one thing. Whatever comes in addition to that, whatever comes along with it in terms of recognition, in terms of the thank you that we get from people, in terms of, oh, Sister Kemi, you are great. Sister Kemi, you did well. Those are addendum. The first thing, the main purpose, is to glorify God. So the moment we understand our why, and know that whenever I'm committed to do something, whenever I'm told to do something, it is not because I want to impress pastor. It is not because I want to impress anybody to come and tell me after the whole thing that, oh, you did awesome. Then we are on the right path. But when our motive, when our why is wrong, then there is an issue. So today we need to remind ourselves that whatever we are doing, if we are carrying that spoon, if we are beating that drum, if we are joining that prayer warrior team, it's not because pastor should be able to say that, oh, she's in prayer, she's a prayer warrior, she's in evangelism, she's holding the church, she's a strong pillar. That is not the essence. The essence is to glorify God ultimately. May God help us in Jesus' name. The second reason I jotted down is that to use our gifts for the benefit of others. Now let us go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Genesis 12, verse 2. I'm so sorry, I'm trying to move as fast as possible because of time. We're supposed to have a 10-minute break, but that was ruled out just because of time. So I'm not going to stand in the way of our time to go home on time. Praise God. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. This was to Abraham in Genesis. Thou shalt be a blessing. Now, what I want us to focus on here is that after he had told him that he will make him a great nation, after he had told him that he would bless him and that he will make his name great, there was a purpose for it. There was a reason for it. Meaning that he could have stopped at that. He could have stopped at, and I will make your name great. But because he had something in mind, he knew that he was giving this to Abraham, not just for him alone. He wanted him to transfer to others. He wanted him to breathe upon others. And that is the same way I see the gift that God has given to us. Not just for us to glorify him alone. Not just for us to use it for ourselves alone. But to be a blessing unto others. So the first point that we established is that whatever we have been given in form of gifts is to glorify God. And then the second thing is to be a blessing unto others. So whatsoever we are doing that is not edifying or lifting the spirits of others, there is something wrong. If our act of worship, if our service in the house of God is not, you know, I'm not talking about people that are actually problematic in the church, that would always have issues with you. That's a different thing. Those ones are outliers, right? But like normal individuals in the church, and then whatever you are doing is like, you know, bringing down their faith, not blessing them, there is something wrong. And then we need to check ourselves. Is our Christianity the type, is our use of our gift the type that would make others feel uncomfortable and want to chicken out? Some people, the way they carry their holier than thou is not, you know, is actually de-evangelizing and depopulating the kingdom of God. And we have to be careful about that. May God help us in Jesus' name. Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We have been created unto good works, and that is what we should be found doing with the gifts that God has given to us, even in the house of God and outside the house of God. My version says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us. Yeah, quite similar. May God help us in Jesus' name. Let us talk about how does God expect us to use our gifts. We might be wondering that because we define gift as something that was given to us freely, then why should you hold the person to, you know, an expectation? But the truth is, let us put ourselves, you know, in God's shoes. You gave somebody something. The fact that you dashed the person, quote unquote, does not mean that you would appreciate if the person doesn't use it appropriately. You know, if I have a piece of cloth that I want to give out now to maybe some of my cousins, it will be very easy for me to identify the one that I've seen that used what I gave her before well. It happens to me, and I'm like, oh, Gladys, when I gave her the other clothes, she really used it. So after 2 years, I was like, ah, Gladys, you're still wearing this clothes. Trust me, if I have another one amongst them, she's the first person that will come to my mind, because I know she will maintain it. That is the same way God expects us to maintain and to cater for that gift that he has committed into our hands. And that is why it is very important to know that God has expectations about what he has committed into our hands. To whom much is given, much is expected. And it is very easy for us to have multiple gifts. Sometimes you will say, ah, Pastor Adeboye has this gift of this, gift of that. It is because he has been found faithful in one. God is not a God that will just throw everything at you. You are found faithful in one, you get more committed into your hands. So we cannot just sit down or stand up or whatever position and begin to, you know, admire those things and begin to try to covet it. It is not alone to covet it, but alone to live up to expectation with the little that has been committed into our hands. And then we can then yearn and ask for more and expect to receive it. And that is why we need to understand how God expects us to use this gift, so that we can align with it and then hope for more to be released unto us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 to 25. Genesis 3:22-25. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now let's put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and eat and live forever. Next verse. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground whence he was taken from. Let me see if this is a part that I... go to 25. I might have mixed it up. 25, please. That's the end. Okay, apparently, that's not the part that I want. The part that I want says that... Oh, sorry, Colossians. I'm beginning to see in double. Colossians is the yam. I took too much yam. Praise God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord. You see, this scripture for me, it's something that I keep going back to. And not unto men. In using our gifts in the house of God, I encourage us to keep going back to this. Whenever we are maybe discouraged by whatever anybody does in the church to us. Because like the man of God said, offense is allowed. It is normal because we are humans and we do not have the same upbringing. So at some point, consciously or unconsciously, somebody can step on your toes, and even in the house of God. But when we are about to be discouraged about, you know, sometimes we want to chicken and I say, I'll just sit down and watch and sit in the rain. Let them do it. Let us go back to this scripture that whatsoever we do it heartily. As to the Lord, not unto men, not unto the pastor, not unto that person that has offended us. 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If we continue to remind ourselves that our gifts, we are using it to serve the Lord God. There is nothing, it's normal for us to want to get discouraged by whatever anybody does at some point in time. But this scripture is there to remind us to focus on our focus and to commit on our, stay committed to our commitment. 25. It says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he had done, and there is no respect of persons. And then I want us to see Ephesians 6, 5 to 7. Ephesians 6, 5 to 7. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart and as unto Christ. Let me see 6 and 7. Now, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. This further emphasizes what we talked about the other time about doing it as unto the Lord. This is how God expects us to use our gifts, not with eye service. Not because Daddy P is coming, I'll now quickly carry broom and say so that I can say, she's always on point. Not because Daddy Olulano is coming. That's how I would quickly start arranging the coats to make sure. The best reward is when people are not even seeing. That's when we get the best of the best reward. May God help us. So I jotted a few points here that God expects us as workers that we put all in using our gifts. If we know that God is coming as a human to visit us on Christmas Day, I'm very sure some of us will go and borrow to cook variety, even when we know that he will not eat everything. That is how he expects us to use our all, not just a part of us. I also put down here that we should use our gifts with consciousness of the fact that it was gifted to us. It was gifted to us. You don't want the person that gave you something to regret. You don't want him to say, oh, why did I give it to Kemi? I should have given it to Yemi. You don't want him to say so. The same way our parents will invest in, you know, our school fees growing up and we want to make them proud. That is the same way we should see it as God invested in us. If God does not expect us to use our gifts judiciously, if he doesn't have an expectation about the gift that he has committed into our hands, then what about the parable of the talent? Since he gave them the talent, he should have forgotten about them. But he came back and he was expecting, maybe if they had done well and everything, he wouldn't have heard anything about him. But he was trying to bring out a point there that he gave this person 5, he gave this person 2, and he gave this person 1. Not because he wanted to take it back from them, but he would expect them to be diligent. To know that if somebody gives you something, you try to make them happy and not regret doing that thing. And that is the same way the gift that God has given to us. And we have said earlier on that gift is not just singing, it could be smiling. It could be showing mercy. It could be teaching. It could be anything. Because they all form parts of the body of Christ. And then I put here that for the unity of our faith unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. I think
think we are on track. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. And then we'll read 13 and 14. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work, you can read from the beginning, but this was, you know, Paul admonishing them here. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is what our gifts are for. That is why we need to put our gifts into work. 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. You see, until we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we need to try to take a step back and see what measure, if this is the measurement, let's say it gets to 100, where are we? Because if we have not gotten to that 100, there is still a lot of work to be done for us. Then 14. He says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is to us as workers. Many of us did not get born again this year. But by the time, it's just like babies. Like Toluwani now is taking milk. At some point, the mom will long that it should start taking solid. And if it's not taking solid at that point, you start wondering that, why is it not taking solid? That's the same way we are in the hands of God. By the time we are born again, it is fine for us to still be able to do some things, and then God, you can get away with it. But as we begin to grow, most especially as we call ourselves workers, there is much more that is expected of us. We cannot afford to just sit down there and still be you know, drinking milk. We need to start taking solid at some point. And then we need to not be tossed to and fro by, you know, wind of doctrines. We need to stand for something that is rooted in Christ. May God help us in Jesus' name. Lastly, I jotted here that he doesn't want us to be like the Pharisees. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, 23, verse 4. Then I'll quickly read. Matthew chapter 23, verse 4. For they bind every burden. These are the Pharisees now. You know, this was after God, you know, Jesus Christ told the disciples to go get a colt, and that he was going to make a triumphant entry. And then when he was riding on the horse and going into this town, and they started singing Hosanna, they started singing, and then the Pharisees were like, you should shut his disciples down. And he told them, no, that if he shuts them down, stones will rise and begin to praise him. We'll come to that. But let me read this. He started talking to his disciples that don't be like the Pharisees, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Are we the type that we are in the church, we are very quick to criticize people, to critique them and say, you are not doing this right, you are not doing that right? This, he says, these are the Pharisees. They are very quick to bind burden and place it on people's shoulders. Meanwhile, they themselves do not put it on. Are we the ones that we see fault in people rather than stand up and put our own gift into use and begin to pull people down and wreak havoc in the church of God? Verse 5. But all their works they do for them to be seen of men. For they make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the border of their garments. We talked about this before. Whatever God has given to us in form of gifts is not for eye service. We cannot afford to be like the Pharisees that Jesus was talking about here. They want to be seen of men, to be on the altar all the time. They want to be seen of men, to be at the forefront. We are the ones that are there. But in actual fact, they are not doing anything to the glory of God. That is not the kind of work that God has called us to. Verse 6. And love the uppermost room at the feast, and chief seats in the synagogue. They like to be in front. No, we are the daddy has come. Mommy has come. You know, it's okay to have ministers, it's okay to have elders. But we need to be very careful not to allow that to override the main purpose why we are called. It's okay. I like churches where we have elders, where we have ministers. I believe so much in wisely counsel. I love, but when it's just about youth, it's good. But I believe that there is so much to draw from the wealth of knowledge of elders. So don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that it's not about the position. It's not about the front seat. Because that is what the Pharisees used to focus on. And that is not why we are workers. We are laborers. We are laborers. We are servants. May God help us. Next verse, please. Next verse, sharp. And greetings in the market, and to be called of men, Rabbi. Daddy, oh, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. You know, that's what God was talking about, the Pharisees. Praise God.
You have not seen. No, it might, praise God, it might not be common here, but I know where I'm coming from. Ah, that you, hey God, it is well. Verse 8. But sometimes it's not in form of daddy o for some people. It's very subtle for some people. But it's left to us to check ourselves and see where our own daddy o comes in. Our own mommy o, where does it come in? It might not be daddy o, it might not be mommy o actually for us, but it might be something else. May God help us to identify those things and address them. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. Let me see 9:10. And see if there's any point I want to make of that. Prophet me. Let's leave it. Okay. So I put here that we should not be like the Pharisees. They loved attention. They loved public gear. Clear. That is not our focus. That is not our purpose. That is not it. May God help us. You know, I said it before. Let us focus on our focus. And let us stay committed to our commitments. Do not let us be distracted. May God help us. And then the final outline. I said, implications of not doing the most with God's gift. We have talked about the why he committed into our hands. We've talked about the how he expects us to use it. And now, if you're not using it, it's okay. It's normal for him not to just commit more into our hands. It's normal. The first thing here I put down is that substitution is allowed. My pastor back home will say that God, he believes that God uses principles of football match, like soccer, because that when he tries to marry the things that happened in the kingdom, he sees that those principles are present in football matches. But we won't go into that today. Substitution is allowed. It is not a matter of I got born again 20 years ago. God is looking for people that would be ever relevant, because God has a goal, he has a purpose, he has a foresight to take the gospel to the uttermost part of the world before Jesus Christ will come back. And then if you are the one that will be pulling it back, he doesn't have time for that. There's no time for that. So substitution is allowed. So sometimes it's very common to find in the church of God, somebody comes in newly and the person is all fired up and everything. And then you are there still wallowing in 25 years ago when I got born again. Oh God, you know, and somebody is here with fresh fire, ready to take the kingdom for Jesus. And you expect that God will just sit down and just... No, he wants someone that will speed up the work with genuineness of heart, definitely. Substitution is allowed. Matthew 25, 28. Matthew 25, 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. This is substitution. This person was given the chance. He did not use it. Jesus Christ said, take it from him. Give it to somebody else. May we not be substituted in Jesus' name. But it goes beyond our amen. It goes, it's what we do that would make that prayer be answered. If we do well with what God has given to us, he would not think of saying, oh, this person should come and take it over. But if we don't make the most of it, we should not be surprised when certain people are substituted. And they should not be angry. May God help us. Luke 19:37 to 40. Luke 19:37 to 40. We are wrapping up. Luke 19:37 to 40. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Let's go next. Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. 14. And some of the Pharisees from among them. Okay, I think what I'm trying to say here, let's go to 40. Yes, so after the Pharisees had told him that he should shut his disciples down, and then he told them, he said, I tell you that if this should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The same thing goes out to us, myself inclusive. If we should hold our peace with that gift that God has committed into our hands, it will raise stones. It will raise men that we do not even expect. And that is substitution. May that not be our portion in Jesus' name. Now, the next point that I put down here is that overtaking is allowed. Simple truth. What I've seen in my little years here on earth, my few years here on earth, overtaking is allowed, even in the work of God. Now, this is quite different from substitution, because, you know, substitution, you are still there. They're still wallowing in 25 years ago when I became born again. I was hot for Christ and this and that. Now overtaking is, you are still doing relatively, you know, the work of God, but maybe not as expected, because we said to whom much is given, much is expected. If God expects this of us and we are operating at this level, that is, in my place of work, we have different with the great people, not met expectation, meeting some expectations, met expectation, exceeding expectation. So if you are meant to be here and you are here, you are not meeting expectations or meeting some expectations, right? And then somebody comes, like I said again, to the church of God. You know, sometimes it's very easy for people that just give their life to Christ to be very, you know, fired up and everything. And before you know it, God starts committing great and mighty things into the person's hand and is doing well. The person will overtake. He will overtake. That is why I fear a lot that, you know, people that receive God, that had the privilege of receiving Christ earlier on, and probably their fire begins to drop at some point. At the time Jesus will come, it's very possible that such people might find it hard because the fire has started going down. Let's see Matthew 20, verse 16. Matthew 20, 16. I'll just summarize this. Matthew 20, verse 16. This story had to do with the laborers. You know, some of them came very early. We can liken those to, you know, some of us that had received Christ and have been burning for Christ for years, from years back. And then at the very last hour, there were some laborers that Jesus Christ found. And then he said, okay, let them also come into the vineyard. Let them work. And they began to work, just like we all are working in the house of God. But then, by the time he was going to remunerate them, he gave them the same amount. That was where the trouble started. Those that came earlier on, which we can be likened to those that received Christ years ago, those that came into ministry years ago, because it's like a parable, and they started saying to Jesus that, why will he give him the same remuneration like them, that they had been here since morning? And then Jesus Christ told him, see, say, you know, he was telling them that they should not fault him, that it doesn't mean anything. So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. What I learned from this parable is that some people had the privilege of getting to know Christ like years ago. Some people did not have the privilege, one because they've not even heard about Jesus, some because maybe they were still playing away. But by the time they get to know about Jesus, we are on the same level. We are all called born again Christians. So the honors lies on us, and that is why much more is expected for people that are in the kingdom already, to hold firm that which we believe in. We should hold it firm, because it is very easy, like I said, for a newly converted to be very vibrant and go all the way, and then because we have become too familiar, and then we start, you know, it's Jesus now, it's my Jesus, it's good, it's my Jesus. But we need to be very, very weary, because like these laborers, the one that came the last hour, if Jesus guy comes after, they say, I say yes to Jesus, everybody will go to heaven. No, it will not be a matter of, you know, came into Jesus Christ since, so maybe our own heaven will be different. It's the same heaven that we are going to go to. But then, he that is down needs fear no fall already. But we that we are standing, we need to fear to fall down, because it is very likely that we are not standing firm again. It is very likely that that gift that God has given to us, expecting us to do great and mighty things with it, we are not doing as much as expected. May God help us. And I pray that our place will not be overtaken, and that we will not be substituted. Then the last thing we should avoid, we will start living on past glory. If we do not use the gift that God has given to us, when the man of God mentioned past glory, I was like, God, your spirit is one. Past glory, it's very, very common. It's very, very common. When I used to see vision, when I used to, past glory does not do the work of now. If we are still using GSM or Sagen, I don't know how we'll be able to Google a lot of things. There is ever-changing technology. So there should be ever-renewal of our spiritual life. We cannot afford to say, when I got born again, I will see vision, I will cast. That was good. But that is not relevant in the scheme of things now. We need to stay relevant. May God help us. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Chronicles 6, verse 11, as I wrap up. It says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. This is a warning to us that we should not just leave it at where we were before. It has to be a continuous process to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
finally, I want to encourage us with this scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. I want the Message version, please. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. The Message version, but I would read it from here because of our time. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work. Brother Femi, what did you put before? Okay, did you shrink the letters? Okay, thank you. Message version? Is this Message? Okay, don't worry. Let me read. It's fine. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I just want to remind us that our labor is not in vain. Whatever has been thrown at us, whatever we've come across, you know, let us always remember that it's enough for us. It's all right for some things to, you know, piss us off sometimes. But let us remember to go back to that scripture that says that we are doing it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. And then let us remember that Judas Iscariot was into the fold. He was one of the disciples. He couldn't have been part of the disciples if he did not merit it in the first place. But he made a mistake of, you know, allowing his greed take over. You know, his fire went down and the devil came in. Let us not lose guard. Let us use that which God has committed into our hands. It is our cross. The day we accepted him, we accepted that cross. Let us rise up as we sing this song, remembering and saturating our hearts with the fact that our gift, the gift that we carry and how God expects us to use it, is our cross. It says, on a hill. No, I want that second verse. Yeah. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true.
It's shame and reproach gladly bear.
So when somebody offends us in church, we say we are going to gladly bear it.
Then he called me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I share.
So I cherish
the old rugged cross. Dream I trod.